It's business time. It is time for the Download on Chicago Business, sponsored by Signature Bank. It's our weekly segment where we talk with entrepreneurs, CEOs, and small business owners. They share their stories so we can better understand ours. Tonight, the business of fitness, high-intensity fitness to be exact. Seems like you can't go anywhere without seeing a new gym open up. Could be the mega gyms the size of an old Best Buy or the gyms that you can't tell are gyms. Is that a coffee shop? A boutique? What is that? Oh, it's a gym. Got it. The one thing that all businesses take away is that working out is a part of life, and there is a need for businesses to offer up those services. Enter Catalin Rodriguez Ogren. Back in 2001, the East Bank Club fitness trainer opened up her own shop in the West Loop called Pow Gym. Pow boasts to be the first woman-owned boxing and MMA gym in Chicago and the most successful youth sports performance program in the country. Did I mention the speed school? I think I mentioned the speed school. The business is growing with a new gym that opened up back in 2016, and Catalin Rodriguez Ogren is still at the helm. She's my guest tonight at the Download of Chicago Business. Catalin, thanks for being here.
Thank you for inviting me.
All right, so let's get into this. I mean, how hard was it for you to open your own business? Because you were a trainer in Chicago, like I said, you work in East Bank Club. You're also doing some writing and other things. Talk about the move to actually get into getting your own space.
Well, I had a really great career at East Bank Club. I was there for 7 years. I got my job there right after college while I was in graduate school. And one of the things that really helped me expand my skill sets over time is that East Bank actually allocated money for education. So I took advantage of that, which was really a cool opportunity. And I had a knack for writing. I started coming up with training concepts that were new at the time. I was teaching kickboxing, and you know, I happened to do this at the time when it was like the beginning of it all.
Right, right.
And then I took it many steps further. I then got hired to write the International Kickboxing Certification Program. And then from there, I got hired to do a 100-city tour across America over 2 years lecturing. So it was just like one building block on top of another. And then I was like, martial arts needs to have more strength training. These two communities need to merge, and we need to integrate and collaborate. And that was the opposite of the martial arts world. It was not a collaborative community. It was
really,
It was very isolated.
Yeah.
And I had a really long history in that experience. And, you know, kept bugging an editor of a magazine, and he finally published my first story. And it was about the importance of strength training for martial arts. So that, and then kind of going to the fitness magazines, Home Gym and Fitness published my first story on how kickboxing was the greatest thing in fitness, you know? So I just kind of took it at from both angles, hit it really hard. I was young. I had a ton of energy.
Was the goal to open your own gym? I mean, was that always in the back of your mind? Like, all this stuff is great, and I'm learning so much, and I'm actually paving the way and a pioneer in these fields. But the end
game
is...
Not in the early 90s, no. I mean, I wasn't sure where I was going to go with all of it at the time, especially at the beginning of my career when I started East Bank. I was in Mortal Kombat. So I didn't know if I was going to go down the whole fight choreography path, if I was going to stay in stunt work, you know, kind of, I did all of it because you could.
Right.
And 16-hour days was nothing in my 20s and early 30s. It was just absolutely nothing because every moment was exciting.
Well, you mentioned Mortal Kombat. That was another thing that you were the fight choreographer for the
characters. I played the female characters.
Characters
I played the
Mortal
ninjas.
Too,
yeah.
You know, I think about it because when you made that jump, was it, talk about the fear factor in that, of the idea of having, it seems to me like an ambitious career, you a lot of different things that can come up at different times, but the idea of putting yourself in brick and mortar and putting yourself in this is my job and I need to make this work, was that a difficult transition for you?
I definitely knew when I wasn't ready, and I knew when I was. The one thing that I've always been pretty dialed into is when and how to apply myself towards an opportunity. And that's really kind of, I think, been the secret of my success, even since I was a kid. It's like I knew as a youth competitor when I was ready to move up to the higher division. I knew when I was ready to take on another competitive class. You know, I was always pretty good about that. And it always came to me in like, I don't know, I don't want to call it epiphanies, but just moments that just I was like, I don't know, like you take a bite into a sandwich and then all of a sudden you just have a vision and you're like, okay, I'm ready. And then that would be that. And then over time, as you get older, you start trusting that bite into your sandwich,
yeah, that instinct.
That moment, that yeah. instinct.
It's interesting because all of that, the instinct and what you're talking about, discipline, it's a huge part of high-intensity
fitness. And I'm disciplined, yeah.
I mean, that helps. That is it, right? I mean, that's what it's really about.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about making that transition and using those techniques and like you just talked about, biting into the sandwich, those epiphanies, in business.
Yeah. Well, so after East Bank, I moved on and became an independent trainer with colleagues I had met at East Bank that are to this day my closest friend, one in particular, Bernie LeCocq, that owns River North Gym. Having great people around you that also have that entrepreneur energy to help steer you in the right direction was really, really valuable for me. Even though a lot of my friends went off to do different kinds of things in the fitness industry, everybody just really tended to continue lighting the fire under my ambition to do that. But I was, for several years before I opened up POW in 2001, I was being hired by gyms all over the country and the world to come in and tell them how to set up their right. program because they wanted to teach what I taught. So it just kind of finally, over time, I knew that I wanted time covering boxing on the professional circuit. I knew I wanted time to write and to do videos, and I did all that. And then I just kind of got to a point where I was like, I'm ready for a gym. And I really wanted this place where you could do boxing, martial arts, self-defense, high-intensity training, jump rope training. Like, I wanted this place that, what to me, was the perfect place to work out. All these different modalities, super exciting.
How important is that as when you're opening, you're an entrepreneur and you're opening your own business, to diversify like that? Because there'll be some places that this is what they do. They do cross training, or they do this. They might do one of the things you just mentioned. How important, and the challenge of offering all those services?
I think that it's valuable to have that diversification if you have the skill sets in those various diversities. So because I had dedicated at that point, you know, a decade to coming at the industry, the martial arts industry and the fitness industry from both angles, because I wasn't just being hired as a martial art delegate in Taipei, which was an amazing opportunity. I was also presenting at IDEA Fitness Conference. So right. I was also at Asia Fit. I was also at in Russia, in Moscow, being brought in to do things. So being able to do things in both communities, and then every time some sort of fun stunt gig just came along, I just kind of did that because it was fun.
Right.
It just kept everything in my life so dynamic, but I was just such a student of every opportunity I got. I didn't lose the advantage and the opportunity when I went to Asia Fit or I went to IDEA Fit. Once you're a presenter at these amazing conferences and educational opportunities, you get to do everything for free.
Yeah.
So I was there at the first BOSU launch. I was there when they first brought kettlebells out into the... So I was just like, I'll sign up for it. So I just took everything and anything I could, because what else was I going to do? Go back and watch movies in my hotel room? That just wasn't my personality. So I took advantage of every opportunity that came my way.
Catalin Rodriguez-Ogren in studio. She is the founder of POW Gym in the West Loop on South Racine, just south of Jackson. All right, here's what we'll do. We'll take a quick break. We'll continue the conversation. When we come back, I want to talk about the challenges, because opening a gym in 2001 is much different than running a gym in 2017, especially with all the high-end competition that's in the city of Chicago. Catalin Rodriguez-Ogren, my guest in the Download in Chicago Business. Stay with us.
It's business time.
The Download in Chicago Business, sponsored by Signature Bank. Catalin Rodriguez-Ogren in studio tonight. She's the owner and operator of POW Gym. On the west side, we're talking about high-intensity fitness, the merging of MMA and fitness, which you were at the forefront of. In 2017, competition, gyms, boutiques, so many different styles of training. I mean, it just popped up. I mean, just in the last 5 years alone, we've just seen an explosion here in town. How does that affect you as a business owner, as someone who is at the forefront to watch so many different places come in that want a chunk of your business?
Yeah, it's definitely challenging. You know, particularly the West Loop. I will say that the fitness industry in general is moving towards a boutique or niche-driven industry. The bigger box gyms are having a harder time. They have to become a little bit more like a health club or country club setting with a wide range of amenities. But, you know, the niche thing is cool. You know, I think that the difference is that I think you need to know a lot more today in order to open up a business in the city of Chicago.
Just in general as a business owner, or you mean, or in fitness?
Both, I think, both areas. I think that a lot of people in the fitness industry today that are opening up niche gyms, they have a very narrow exposure to the fitness industry. You know, where I was really, really lucky that I had this 10-year career at East Bank and traveling the world and teaching fitness, not only kickboxing, but yoga classes and all this. So it made me really diverse. And just the number of hours, you know, sometimes I sit back and I look at how many clients I trained a month and how many classes, and it would be like 37 to 45. And then I jump on a plane on Friday morning, and then I would teach till Sunday night and come home and do it all over again. So I don't know if people today are built for that anymore. I don't know. I can tell you what I was built like. I could tell you the discipline that I had. I mean, I was disciplined to the point where I would say, you know what, I'm going to read this book. And I'm not going to bed until I finish this book. And I would read Blue Ocean. And then I would read, you know, Seven Habits. Yeah. And then that was the same thing. I'm going to write tonight. I'm going to write an article until I'm done. That's when I move on.
You know, it's interesting because it's a client-based business and industry, really, if you think about it. And I think about, I mean, if revenue, if you opening a gym, a lot of it is based on the clients coming in. And I would think that, and I can only judge from my own personal experience, that there are sometimes I'm like, I'm going to take this month off, you know, or I'm not going to train. I'm not going to do this. How fragile is the business model of owning a gym when you have to sort of have a revenue stream that is dependent on people training or working out?
It's absolutely challenging to keep people coming back. I mean, I will say that, you know, we as a business do have a pretty high renewal percentage. Like, I'm a very metrically driven business. So I think there's a misconception that a lot of small businesses are not as metrically driven as like a Best Buy or an Export or whatever the case might be. But I mean, my reporting guides a lot of my decisions, whether I am making huge decisions or small decisions. I am definitely very influenced.
You're doing it by the data, right?
I am. I'm very data driven and I'm very gut driven. I mean, but I've got, you know, 33 years in the martial arts to follow my gut. And I've got a good 20 plus year career in the fitness industry in Chicago to give me a good gut to follow numbers sometimes and sometimes no. And I'm not right all the time. I mean, I kind of, you know, I've made so many mistakes over the years, but I take advantage of those mistakes in a lot of ways. And I take advantage of things that I've done in the city. I've done the 10,000 small businesses business program. I've done grants. I do courses online. I mean, I don't think I know everything.
It's always about continuing your education, not just on the business side, but on the fitness
side
too.
Yeah.
You know, what's the hardest part about running a gym? Is it the trainers? I mean, is it people and the idea? Because I think about you when you were at East Bank, someone to make sure you were doing a good job on behalf of that company or the other company. Is that where it comes down to, the hardest thing about sort of running a gym?
You know, I do refer back to my East Bank days a lot. I really refer back to the way in which I had some really good leaders over there. I didn't interact with, obviously, the executive level people who would be the CEO. Like, I'm technically a CEO, I guess. Right. But I had some really great department heads, and they were fun, and they were great listeners, and they seemed really interested in what I had to say. And I actually was really good at understanding when my need wasn't able to be serviced because of something that was above their head. So I think I was really good at setting expectations, and I try to set the correct expectations for my staff.
So you borrow from that experience and flip it as being the boss, right?
Yeah, and you know, at the end of the day, if people are not happy when they walk into work, they're just not going to be an asset to my company. And I think the people that work for me right now are very, very happy people. There is a camaraderie that I think is really unique to our particular gym. And as far as customers go, you know, I just don't get bored of teaching and listening to them. You know, I mean, I try to keep people coming back because I'm taking ordinary people and giving them extraordinary skills. If you can't get high off of something extraordinary that you can do that is a little bit different than the person sitting next to you at work, you weren't going to stay with us anyway. And even though we have this huge strength and conditioning and speed class program, being faster is cooler than being slower. I mean, I don't know.
That's a tagline. That's
yeah. I mean, our mantra used to be the coolest thing you can learn is martial arts. Just, you know, punch and kick your way here. You know, I mean, that's just kind of like what we are. You know, the punching, the kicking, the self-defense, the speed training. And now, obviously, you know, we still squat and get stronger and push weight like everybody else because that's what you, that's a baseline. Right.
My last question just is about Chicago. I mean, this is a competitive city, and it gets more and more competitive. You know, if you look at back to 2001, talk about why you stayed here. What is it about Chicago? You grew up here, but to talk about what it is about Chicago that, that kept you here and keeps you here.
I am loyal to a fault, I guess. I mean, my history here, I was obviously born here. I grew up on Chicago and Wells in my dad's art studio. So I grew up in an environment that wasn't particularly well polished at the time. I mean, Chicago and Wells in 1970 through 1980 was not what River North looks like now. I went to public school, my brothers and I, and I don't know, we're all pretty exposed to great culture and food. And, you know, I think we have a little bit of city addiction.
And I know it well.
Yeah.
Catalin Rodriguez Ogren is the owner and operator of Pow Gym in Chicago's West Loop. Pow Gym is at 310 South Racine, is that right?
Yep.
310 South Racine. Catalin, thanks so much for coming in and being
Thank
our guest on the Download Chicago Business. Appreciate it.